Kia ora, kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. It is the new year, 2025, and I am so pleased you have joined us today. We've got a great lineup. We've got Pastor's Corner coming up real soon. We're going to play a song. We've got Denise in the studio. You've got me in the studio. And you've got Pastor Roger in the studio. I think it's going to be a good one.
Even though I walk through the valley, sometimes it feels like I crawl through the valley. But I got a promise that I hold on tight to. I can't lose when I'm right beside you. Yeah, gotta know the plans you have for me when my cup is overflowing. So while I'm in the in between, I'ma live my life knowing if I get down, you pick me up. To me, the devil tried to make me turn away. Cause even on my worst day, yeah, if I get down, you pick me up. So while I'm in the in between, I'ma live my life knowing if I get down.
That was U2, Pride. A very good song to be playing at the beginning of the year. And welcome to Pastor's Corner, Pastor.
Oh, thank you, Marie. Welcome. Good to have you here with us too.
Yeah, and Denise.
Yeah, hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Okay, so the question is, did we get up to anything on New Year's? Did we go to the parade?
Absolutely. Yeah. We always go to the parade.
Yeah, it was cool, wasn't
it? It's a big event for us. It's the biggest event of the year for Raglan.
Ah, it's a big event for us. And wasn't it good this year? I mean, it was
awesome.
Was a good one. I thought the community came together really well. Denise isn't saying much. Where were you, Denise?
I was at my house standing on the deck watching the fireworks. It was quite funny. We had a bunch of young people over and they were just like, because the big ones would explode and they're like, oh my gosh, that must be the end. And then it would keep going and they're like, that must be the end. And then it kept going and they're like, it took 6 minutes. They said it's almost 2026 already because the fireworks keep going. They were stoked.
It went for 6 minutes. I videoed it. Yeah. And then I went to try and upload it and my phone is still trying to upload even though I've deleted the video. So if anyone knows what I've done wrong out there, I don't know what's going on, but I cannot get that one to upload. Unfortunately.
But, no, it was beautiful.
Impressive. Mm. I mean, for Raglan, that's an impressive thing to put on every year, and I'm pretty encouraged by our community. But at the moment, we're going to head into some wild questions that we have for this year, all to do with Christianity, God and Jesus and everything in between. And we do have some questions lined up because I have encouraged people to email into Faith Matters. So if you feel that's you, you can email lowercase faithmatters 98.1 FM @gmail.com. Your name will stay confidential, but if you have some questions out there, you're curious, you've had those thoughts around how come this or why that in our faith and Christianity, I encourage you to email in, and we're quite happy to unpack that. We may not have the answers. I don't think there's ever the answer, or maybe there is one answer, but when we're unpacking these type of questions, you know, I think it's a journey in finding the answer. So, yeah, I'm glad you've joined us today because we have a good question today, and I'm going to read it out, and then we're
okay. Looking forward to it. You got a tricky question.
Hold on, okay. Everybody.
Happy New Year. Happy 2025.
Right now. Okay, so here's the question. Why did Jesus not write anything down about himself? And therefore, can the Bible be trusted if it's written by so many different people? Now, it's kind of a two-header, I think, this question. So we're going to unpack the first one first, is why did Jesus not write anything down about himself?
Well, that's a very good question. And to be honest, I have never thought about that before. But it is true that there's no record of Jesus writing anything down for us to read today. But he was quoted often, of course. Most of the New Testament is about Jesus, but it wasn't anything that he actually physically wrote himself. So it's a very thought-provoking, interesting question.
I'm thinking too back then, if we look at, because we look at the history of the Bible and the era and the culture that it comes from. What about scribes back then? Do you think that was something that people did rather than writing about themselves? It's not, you know, people weren't writers, so to speak.
Well, no, I think particularly through other parts of the Bible, people did write about themselves, but and their own experiences. But obviously, the question that's been asked is correct, that Jesus himself did not write anything specific. But I wonder actually if it kind of adds a little bit of weight to what was written about him. I was thinking, just thinking about it, I mean, I could say to someone, hey, you know, I'm a great dad and I do all this and I do that and I do the other. But actually, my kids may not always agree with that. But there is a lot more power and meaning in it if they say that about me.
Right.
If my kids or my grandkids say, hey, you know, Dad, you did a good job of raising us. Well, I'd like to think they would say that. But Yeah, I don't.
You're not paying them, eh?
But I'm not.
Denise has her hand up.
But I think Jesus didn't need to, because actually he lived it. He told stories. He lived such a powerful life. He didn't actually have to prove anything. He just simply was himself, who he was. He knew who he was, why he'd come. And he had such a huge impact that others around him were honouring him and writing about him. And it's a bit like, and it actually is a little quote, I think it might be from the Proverbs or something, never praise yourself, let others do it. Mm. Because I think there's a lot more power in that and a lot more significance in that. If we have to go around telling everyone how great we are, well, it probably is a sign of insecurity or a fact that perhaps we're not actually all that great. But Jesus simply was who he was, and he didn't have to try and prove anything. All he had to do was just be himself, and it had a huge impact on people around him every day. And that's why we have so much written about him, so much recorded about him. So I think it adds credibility to the person that he was. So that's a thought. It's a starting thought for you guys to discuss.
So that has made me, I was thinking about that just as you're speaking, and I had the thought, he didn't write anything about himself, but what he did do was he had scripture that he read and said, actually, I'm fulfilling this. So the one that comes to mind was in Nazareth. He read, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So he did say stuff and people observed that. And actually the result of that particular time was the people were deeply offended, dragged him outside and tried to kill him by pushing him off a cliff. So he didn't necessarily get a good response, but the reality was he just stated it and said, actually, this is me, this is who I am. And then people responded as they will.
Yeah, and I think, well, he was living his life. He was living out who he was, and I don't think there was time to write down things, and I don't think there was an importance in that time to write things down. It was more important to live out who he was in that era, in that time. So, okay, so we've got a couple of thoughts there around why he didn't write down things about himself. So let's head into the second part of this and of the question. It says, and therefore, can the Bible be trusted if it's written by so many different people? Interesting. Because we know, we can all have different viewpoints when we see something happen in front of us. We all have a different perspective. And the Bible has many stories throughout it in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, around the accounts of Jesus and what people saw, eyewitnesses. When I think about an eyewitness, if we bring it into modern times, an eyewitness account is the most valuable account that we can have. And still, an eyewitness account in a court of law is the highest level of credibility that we can look for. So just to hold those two thoughts as these two wonderful people try and unpack this one, we'll go with you, Pastor. Like, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, once again, that question does flow on from the previous one. And I think we all need to have a foundation. I mean, if you're building something, like if you're building a building, the foundation is actually what holds it in place. I mean, if you don't get the foundation right, nothing's going. The house will fall down. The building will fall down. Yep. And I think for us as Christians, God's word, the Bible, is it's like our foundation.
Mm.
And it was written over hundreds of years by lots of different people. That's correct. And the Bible also tells us that I think it's in 2 Timothy 3:16 that every word in the Bible is inspired by God. God worked through people to bring his word to all of us. And so there, and when you look at the Bible, it's a really complex book, but there's also these threads running right through it. Even though it was written by so many different people, there's actually a common thread all the way through, and it really is like a foundation for everything that we believe. And I think it's probably important, Marie, to state and for people to understand that, like, I'm the pastor of the church, but I don't make up our religion. It's not something to do with anything to do with me. All my responsibility is actually to unpack the Word of God, which is the Bible, and to explain it and to help people to understand it, because that's really what it's all based on. And so it's not a man-made thing. It was man-written under the inspiration of God. And I think Denise alluded to it earlier about Jesus quoting from other parts of the Bible. All ties together. And there was a lot in the Old Testament that were prophesying about Jesus and that he was going to come. And that's why when Jesus came, he said, you know, I am the one. And he referred back to those other parts of the Bible that referred to him. And so it's all, even though it was written by lots of people over hundreds of years, it's an incredibly powerful book and a statement really about God and his relationship and his love for us and his relationship with us that he wants to have. And that's the thread that runs right through the whole book. So it's a really exciting book, and there's something in it for everybody. There's quite a lot of it is historical. Quite a lot of it, there's quite a lot of big sections that are like poetry. If you're an artistic person, there's stuff there that people can relate to. There's a story of a family, which is God's family. We're all part of a family. And so there's lots of stories woven through it and lots of aspects to it. That there's something there for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're creative or whether you like history or whether you like geography, because it talks about real places and real times and real people. And then it brings the Bible brings these people to life when they interact with God, and God's Spirit within them is the Holy Spirit is what actually brings the Word of God alive. And it's a really not only a foundation, but it's a powerful message from God to me and to us as people that he loves and cares for.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I was thinking about what you were saying in regards to the stories or the predictions that were made about Jesus coming and his birth and all of that in the Old Testament, and how Jesus himself refers back to those old stories about himself. And, you know, we're talking so hundreds of years in between where those predictions have come true. So if those weren't written down, there'd be no testimony of what was said back then and the confirmation of that in Jesus' time.
Yeah, a lot of the Bible, you know, I mentioned there's history and geography, and there's lots of things about, but there's also a lot of prophetic writings about the future in the Bible as well, and quite a lot of it hasn't actually even been completed yet. There's some really exciting stuff that the Bible talks about that is still yet to come, and that what it talks about is that God's love and his care for us, it begins in our life now, but God has got so much for us. We are created actually to live forever, and not just to die and go into the ground and disappear. God has created an eternal spirit in us.
Yes.
And he's going to give us a new body and a new life. And, you know, so there's all sorts of exciting aspects in the Word of God that we haven't got to yet, you know, that we haven't experienced yet. But it's an unfolding book. And even though it was written so long ago, it's actually so relevant, and it comes to life.
Yes, it's living, isn't it?
Every day for me when I read it, God speaks to me, because I think it's God's word to us. When we talk to him, we pray to him, and he speaks to us. And the main way that he speaks to most people is through his word, the Bible.
But, yes. Anyway. And it is powerful, eh, Denise?
For sure. Yeah, I think of some of those, like as you say, some of the prophecies that are talked about in the Bible have already come to pass and others haven't. And so, you know, you might have somebody hold the Bible up and say, but, you know, what's this about? And actually, I think because so much of it has already happened, you can kind of go, okay, this is definitely true. Like you can point to parts of the Bible where it has definitely come to pass already. And so I think like for people who were around in the time of the Old Testament, they didn't know that it would be a guy called Jesus, not that, you know, that's his English name, English version, but they sort of thought that he'd be a king and he'd come in power. And you've also got these things about this guy who'd be despised and rejected by people, who would come as a servant. And so they kind of have this picture of all of that together at the same time, not realizing that it's sort of, it happens over a period of time. So it's like looking at a mountain range and you think, oh yeah, there's a mountain, but actually when you get closer and you start, you walk over the first ridge, it's like, oh, it's not just here, it's, I gotta keep going. So it's like that. So like some of those things have already come to pass, and Jesus was able to say, yeah, this was me, this one and this one and this one. But actually, it, as Roger's saying, like there's more to come in the future. There's more, like the aspect of him coming as king. You know, he is as king now, but we haven't seen him come as king. So it's like, ooh, what is that going to be like?
Oh, the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about the Bible, I think sometimes we could say, well, is the Bible true or not? And I think we need to understand that through the centuries, it has been challenged, it has been tested, and there have been so many skeptics have actually tried to discredit the Bible and what's written in it, and actually have ended up, many of them have ended up themselves believing because it is such an amazing book, and it has been discredited. It's been, you know, but it still stands. It's like a building with storms coming against it and against it and against it, because it's got a solid foundation, which is God himself. It's God's word. Actually, it's still standing and it's still relevant and it's still powerful. And there's, you know, I think the other thing we need to understand is that the Hebrew people, the Jewish people who recorded it, they were very, very particular about the way they recorded things and passed them down from generation to generation. Accuracy was so incredible to them that, you know, it talks about not one jot or tittle, which is a tiny little wee, like a dot on an I or a cross on a T. They were people that recorded this. They were fanatical in their excellence and their detail. And so what people have tried to discredit the Bible over and over, and then they come up realizing actually it's historically accurate, it's geographically accurate, and that they can't argue about it. In the end, most people that have a genuine, open-minded attack on the Bible end up saying, okay, well, this is actually an incredible book. The way it's been put together, it can't have just been a man-made thing. Because it was the way it's put together. Yeah.
And think of the different people who tell of the same story, and they tell the same story but with their own emphasis. So they all look at it from a different perspective, just as if we were to tell a story of, you know, New Year's Eve, you guys were both down at the fireworks, but you'd both tell a slightly different story.
Yeah, totally different. We would, because I was further away and Pastor Roger was up close, and he would have heard it differently, seen it, and he probably even smelt the fireworks, but I didn't get any of that experience, but I could still record the event.
Well, I had the best view.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was thinking we're gonna play a song, but before we do that, I was thinking about foundations, where you started, Pastor, talking about our foundations, and they really are so important. Often foundations, if we think about building a house, it's not something we gather our friends around to look at, because they're usually the boring part of the building, but you know, they are the most important part of the building. Without good foundations, the house will fall or be compromised or have issues when something difficult comes along. and causes stress on the home. So, you know, even if we just start looking at foundations, what are we building our foundations on? Where are we putting our trust? Where are we putting our faith? So that probably leads me into the next song, Have a Little Faith. Have a little faith is always a good start, Denise.
We were just talking during that song about the importance of having things written down, and I just thought of an anecdote from New Year's Eve. We had a couple over at our place, and one of them had a cousin who's apparently the coach of the Boston Celtics at the moment, basketball. And so they were talking all about that and talking about how he's a lovely guy and down to earth and this and that. And my husband had his phone out, and he started to look up Boston Celtics, to look up this guy. And it was when he saw it written that he said, "Oh, you're right." And I said to him, "Of course they're right. Like, they know the guy. It's the cousin. Like, they're in relationship with him." And yet for the one who didn't have the relationship, it wasn't until he saw it written down that he actually took them at their word. And so, you know.
Eyewitness accounts. Some of us are like, you're right. It's about, for those in the Bible that wrote those accounts, it definitely was about relationship. But they didn't write it for themselves. They were writing it for the future generations. And aren't we blessed by their writings and their recordings? But more so, I mean, God orchestrated this, so it was all meant to be anyway. So I'm going to let you carry that one, Roger.
Yeah, well, it is. The Bible is God's word. And getting back to the question, which I think is an awesome question, you know, can we trust the Bible? Can we trust, you know, because Jesus didn't even write any of it himself. But, and I think, you know, over the years, as I said, it's been tested and challenged, and people, it has been proven trustworthy. But in the end, like that song that you just played, there is still an element of faith that we need to have, which brings in the aspect of experience as well. Now, once you have had that experience or that taste of God, and then you read his word and it comes alive, it's like a complete package. I think the Bible by itself can be a little bit dry, but when you put the Bible, which is God's word and the history and all the stories and about Jesus and what he did and what he was like and what's coming and the prophecies and the wisdom in the Bible and all the rest of it, you put that alongside your own experience of God, and God's spirit brings the whole it's like a complete package. Like a foundation, as you said, is not the whole of the building. And God's wanting us to take his word, to keep reading it, to keep learning from it, to keep growing from it, but to, so that we can actually begin to experience him and his love and a relationship and a friendship with him. That's where the whole package comes in. If we go simply with the relationship and the love side of it, and you know, we can get a little bit off track, but the Bible keeps bringing us back to what's that, you know, what's the foundation? What's the central core? You know, what's God really like? And, you know, where do we fit into this big picture? It gets clearer and clearer when we've got the whole picture, the whole building, as it were, to look at. So that's my encouragement, is for people that have perhaps never read the Bible, to consider picking it up and reading it. And there's different. Don't try and read it like a normal book necessarily from the beginning to the end, because it is actually made up of 66 different books. And one that I really encourage people to look at is the book of Proverbs, which is little wisdom sayings. And I when I was younger, I used to just love reading the Proverbs and the wisdom little. You know, little awesome sayings that I could hang on to and say, yeah, that was God's word and it came alive to me. And then other people might really enjoy like the Psalms. If you're a little bit more creative, they like songs and poems, and there's so much heart, meaning and all of that. And there's other people that are more into the history and the journey. Read whatever's relevant for you. You can start in different places. You don't have to read it like, because it's not a normal book. Like I said, it's actually 66 books put together, but they're brought together by God himself. So they make up a complete unit once we... But yeah, I just encourage people to give it a go at reading it and ask God, before you start, ask God to show you something.
Oh, there's something exciting right there.
And that's what I often do. And I think, oh, wow, I've never seen that before. Yeah. You know, little even a verse or a statement or a sentence. Yeah. Will stand out, and that will be just what I need for that day or that moment or that relationship that, you know, we're struggling in or whatever. Because there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Bible. And so anyway, I just encourage people.
And we've
got
to have the faith to step into that and want to experience it. Open ourselves, open our hearts and our minds up to hear and see what we haven't seen and heard before.
Yeah, absolutely. Just give it a go. And
well, I got pretty excited when you were talking about experience, because for me it's the other way around. It was experience first and then God's word, and then it made sense for me. But, so I'm very excited by the, experiencing God's love or experiencing God's peace or just experiencing God is incredibly precious. So for me, that was my first experience. And then I had a beautiful auntie who led me to God's word. And, it didn't make sense, a lot of it, because I was very young and it was, like, very boring and I didn't get it. But there was a part of me that actually did, and it was more the sense of what I felt reading the word. It was the presence that came with that I think I really was drawn to. So, I was thinking another way of that I learnt to understand the Bible a bit more when I was younger is I had a storybook. So it had the stories of the Bible in there. So it had Daniel in the lion's den, it had David in there fighting battles or whatever he was doing. And so I read it in story form, which gave me a huge insight into understanding when I came to reading God's word and the way it was written in the Bible. So, you know, you might want to help yourself out there and read some stories, give you a better insight into the time and era
and
culture.
I think the other thing too, like there's layers in the Bible. I mean, you could just simply read the stories or read the Proverbs, like I said, and get something out of them. But then there's other layers too. You start looking at the prophetic layers. You can start looking at the historic, and then you can, you know, there's layer on layer on layer. And it's as much as you want to study and dig in and go deeper, there's always more that actually in the Bible. Even though I've read through the Bible, you know, several times, but I can still pick it up today and I read something, I think, man, I've never noticed that before. You know, you know, you've read it before and you've, you know, thought about it before, but then sometimes you'll see something from a different perspective. It's like, you know, there's so much wealth in there that, you know, you can keep on, you know, discovering more and more all the time. So,
and it's so encouraging. You're right. You can pick it up every day and something will speak to you that's relevant for whatever you're going through. Mm.
And another thing I'm just thinking too, there are different translations of the Bible. So you've got some translations which come across as more dry because they're more literal translations, and then you've got other translations which are called a paraphrase, and so they try and capture the essence of the story and put the story across, but perhaps in more everyday language. Yes. So depending on what your preference is, you can actually get a more readable version and actually get to know God's word that way.
Yeah, just I agree. It's an exciting place, and I'm going to play this song. It's called Relationship by Phil Wickham. It's a great song because pretty much what God wants to say to us.
I know the one who made the stars. I met him on the bathroom floor. Everything was torn apart. Didn't know what I was living for. I almost gave up. I almost gave up. You met me in the mess I made and told me I was meant for more. You pulled me out of my mistakes and led me through that open door. And that's when I woke up. And that's when I woke up. Yeah. My sin is gone and forgiven. That shame at the bottom of the sea. You didn't come for religion. You want a relationship with me. And I found the gates of heaven. Took me a little while, but now I see. You didn't come for religion. You want a relationship with me. Yeah. You want a relationship.
does want relationship with us. And it's good to have relationship with each other too, because, you know, we're not islands living on our own. We are community doing it together. So thank you so much, Pastor Roger, for coming in.
Yeah, and my pleasure. It was a great question.
It was a
thought-provoking question. It made me really think. And no, well done for you. The person who sent that in.
Yeah, I reckon. And I encourage people, don't be shy, send them in. Ask those tricky questions. Like I said, I don't think we're going to have all the answers, but we can certainly unpack them and have a look at them, eh, Denise?
Mm-hmm.
Got anything to say before we head out?
No, I do not.
Okay, she does not. We'll just put a full stop there then. Well, you could say Happy New Year because we're not actually leaving, but Pastor is. So we're going to let Pastor pray a blessing over us in this year as we head into it, and we look forward to having him on again.
Okay, well, let's pray into 2025. Yeah, yes. Lord God, I thank you for the year that we're in. I thank you for the new year and all the expectation, the hopes and dreams that we can have for this year. And I just pray that this year for everyone that's listening would be even better than they'd imagined. I just pray that you'd open up new opportunities, new possibilities. You'd open our heart and our mind to you more, Lord God, that we would see things that we've never seen before. That I pray for people that are perhaps opening your word for the first time, the Bible, and I pray that you'd bring it to life for all of us. And I pray that your life would be just released over this awesome place, this awesome community. So we thank you, Lord God, for everything that's ahead in 2025. Amen.
Amen.
When you open your eyes, can you see the things I see? It's a beautiful life. All dreams. Would you believe me if I told you there is a promise here? We'll find you living your life with freedom to be free. Meaning
I was at a loss until you found me. You gave me a home within your love. I was running blind until you showed me that life could be this good. I want all my friends to know about you. No matter what it takes, I'll never stop. Everything I am is for your glory. My life's forever yours. I found one love, can't control it. Hit me like a wildfire, send me emotion. Nothing else compares, losing all my cares. Now that I have found one love, wild, wild love. Nothing else compares, losing all my cares. Now that I have found one love, wild, wild love.
Now I'm running far within your freedom. I don't even care what they would say. Living in your presence is the reason I'll never be the same. I want all my friends to know about you. No matter what it takes, I'll never stop. Everything I am is for your glory. My life's forever yours.
I found one love, can't control it. Hit me like a wildfire, send me emotion. Nothing else compares.
Wild, wild love. Well, I am going to head out of the studio. I've got beautiful Denise who is going to carry on, and I'm sure she's got bits of wisdom that she's going to share with you through the show. She's looking at me like, Marie, I'm not going to leave right now.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. So, Denise, happiest of 2025 to you and your whānau. Now, I'm going to have Denise's husband on here at some stage. He's probably like, what? But I am. He's a businessman. And there's a story I have around him that, yeah, he doesn't actually even know that I saw part of his business in progress quite a few months ago now. And it really impressed me. And I didn't know that this was actually Denise's husband's business that I was looking at. So I did want to unpack that a little bit with him because I think that's a really valuable thing when we notice somebody else's work because it's so good.
And how often do you actually pass on the positive stuff? Often
exactly.
We see something negative and we're like, blah, 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 blah.
Absolutely. And then to pass it on to the very person, and it's your husband. It was crazy. So I'm really looking forward to having Leonard on here. And yeah, I'm always into the business mind. I think it's fascinating. I'd like to think I'm a bit entrepreneurial. It just never works for me.
Oh my gosh, we have some of those in the family. Yes,
I'm a big dreamer, and you've got to start with small steps. And I'm already at the finish line before I've even started, so it's a bit hopeless. There you go. I'll just do what I do here, and that's good enough. I think so. So happy 2025 to you and yours, Denise. And I'm going to head out. I'm going to head out with a song called "Ha." Actually, I might go out with 660 Special. I actually watched them on New Year's Eve, not in person, just on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I watched their show, their what do you call it, a show or something that they put, a documentary they put together on their beginning years, the right through, and man, I encourage people to watch it. It was so good.
Interesting.
Yeah, a real journey, and I think a real journey of self-discovery and maturing in immaturity, you know.
Wow.
Coming from a place of partying to a place of actually taking something serious and feeling that responsibility. So it was so good, and it kept me up long enough that I went down and watched the Guy Fawkes. Yeah,
Fireworks.
Not Guy Fawkes, is it? It's fireworks, folks.
Wrong occasion.
Right. We're not in November. We're in January. It's okay, and I'm all right. All right, Denise, I'm going to head out with this 660 special, and I shall see you on Sunday.
Sounds great. See you there.
Just like a rocket taking up, you got me high and flying in a dream. Got me feeling like a one, and after everything you've done, just let me take this little moment to say that you're so special. You're the one who makes me happy. You're my future, don't deny it. From time to time I'll get to write it, but I guess what I am trying to say is you're so special. That you know that you're so special. I know you know, I know that you know that you're so special. I know you know, I know that you know. You're so special to me. And all that I want and need. You're so special to me. And I want the special.
Well, welcome back to Faith Matters. You're with Denise in the studio, and I have just farewelled Pastor Roger, and I have just farewelled Marie, and you are with me for the next little while. So I was just listening to that 660 song special talking about You're So Special to Me relationship, and we do talk about relationship quite a lot when we are on the show. We talk about our relationship with God, we talk about our relationship with other people, and I must say I have been enjoying walking along. I've taken to walking to the wharf and back most days, and I've been walking along past the camping ground and past all the people who are sitting down at the beach enjoying family time, enjoying each other's company, and it's been really cool to see just the different dynamics of different families coming together, and just a special time of year that's not like any other, really. Just before Christmas, I did a blog about what language are you speaking, and what I was talking about in that blog was sometimes when we are relating to other people in our family or relating to friends, we try and express our love for them, saying, you're special to me, and we express that in a way that comes naturally to us. And just as an example, when I was young and I first learned about love languages in the seminar that I learned about them, my sister was there and my mum was there and my dad was there, and at the end of the seminar I went back to them and I said, well, you're such and such, you know, your gift giving, your acts of service and your physical touch and closeness. And they all looked at me and they said, yeah, we know that, but what on earth are you? And so when we're trying to express ourselves to other people, we can be expressing ourselves in a way that's, you know, significant to us, but the other person might not understand what we're trying to get across. And so, yeah, just watching, you might have over this Christmas period, you might have had some family time together, and you might have seen that person who jumps up and does the dishes. They're the quickest one to get up and out to help clear the table, that sort of thing. Well, you know, are they a person who really is trying to show their love by doing some sort of an act of service? And so when we start to try and understand the language that that person's speaking, if acts of service is their love language, sometimes we can be giving them gifts and trying to make them feel really good that way, but they don't understand, they don't receive our gifts in the way that we intended them to. They actually think, oh, why didn't you get up and clean up all of the life jackets that were sitting out, or all the wet togs that were lying out on the grass? For them, for us to actually do some form of something for them, some sort of act to help them, is so, so important. And so, yeah, I just think just encouragement over this time when you're spending time with family, be watching to see how people operate, and maybe when you're expressing your care for them, maybe try expressing it in a different way. Maybe it's by giving them some encouragement. Maybe it's by giving them a hug. And maybe that hug, maybe you're not a huggy person, but to express your heart for them by giving them a hug might be just the tonic that they needed. So we're going to go into a song now called Love That Lasts. Enjoy.
It's like it was yesterday. I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. And now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. I find Father on this side of heaven. I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high. And I know that seasons never last forever, so God,
that's a beautiful song. Such a good reminder when we're rubbing a bit close to people and we're thinking, this is getting a bit frustrating, I'm ready for school to go back, or I'm ready for work to start, actually thinking, hey, this has been an amazing summer period, amazing Christmas time, New Year, and how amazing to be able to spend it in a beautiful place like Whangaroa. So I'm just thinking about our Christmas gatherings and our New Year gatherings, and I must say that, you know, there's a certain way our kids came out along with some friends, and in the past when the kids were younger, it tended to be us doing the cleanups and us sort of organising things, and something that we had to do this year was actually sit back a little bit. And these guys are now adults and they've come out with their friends and they just wanted to do things. And so we tended to go and read a book and just let them organise things. And they sometimes organised the meals. They were really good at organising, get someone to do the dishes. And I'm just thinking about that, like, from that growth perspective, sometimes in this period of the year when this is the time that we spend with people and we've been observing them over the years and we expect them to behave a certain way, and yet maybe this year people have behave differently from how you expected them to. Maybe you'd put them in a box and they've actually grown. And that's an awesome thing to be able to notice and to be able to go, okay, this is actually, yes, it's the same person that I was hanging out with last summer holidays, but actually they've grown and they've changed. Their perspectives change on things. They might have even changed their opinion on some things. One of the things I was talking about in the blog was about even the changing of generations in our family. We kind of, for many years, we were the young ones, and now actually with our kids being adults and kind of stepping into some of those roles, we have to figure out what does it look like to be in a different generation. So do be available to kind of allow people to grow, and it might even be us growing. It might be us stepping up to help out or to do things that we didn't used to do because another generation used to do that. And as that generation ages and they slow down a little bit, sometimes we can actually put our hand up and say, hey, I'll cover that for you guys. So, yeah, when someone changes, how do we cope with that? Do we go, wow, that's a new version of this person I didn't get to know? Or do we try and get them to fit back in the box? I know when I was younger, I got to go on a performing arts group every now and then, and often over the summer period. For a period of about 5 years, each summer I'd spend a month out with these a team of people, and we'd go out doing performing arts, and I'd come back and I would have changed and grown quite a lot in that month. But when I got back to my normal everyday, going back to school, normal friends, normal family, it's like there was this spot that I was expected to slot back into. There was no space for growth. And so, yeah, that's something to consider as you go into the new year. Are we going to slot back into our old, or are we actually going to allow ourselves to grow even, to be able to dream and to be able to move towards something new and actually hold a new space? Or do we allow other people's expectations to kind of keep us slotting into that place where we've always been? All these things come to mind at the beginning of the year. It's a great time to be thinking about what's ahead, dreaming and planning. Some people dream and plan and write it all out and get it all organized and set goals and work towards it. Others of us have kind of got a whole lot of possibilities in the air, and we just kind of see what lands as we progress. But I think it's great to be thinking about that when we're hopefully have a little bit more space to do processing. I'm going to go into a song by Skillet now, Stars, and not that I actually particularly know the song Stars, but the other night these young adults were out at our place, and for New Year's Eve they actually spent the night doing karaoke in our lounge, which was fantastic. And there was one of the Skillet songs that used to play on the radio quite a lot, and I used to sing it with one of my sons as we drove around. And when I heard them doing the karaoke, I remembered this song. And so at the end of the night, when that all finished, we played a Skillet song, and the two of us sang it as a duet, which was really special. So that was the last thing that I did before we went outside to watch the fireworks and to count the new year. And so I hear Skillet and I think, it's for me, it's about relationship with my family. So enjoy. So here I am.
whenever I fall away, whenever I start to break. So here I am, lifting up my heart, lifting up my heart. If you can call my emergency, you can call my soul in me. You're never too far away, you never show up too late. So here I am, lifting up my heart, to the one who holds the stars. You're the one who holds the stars.
Wow, what a beautiful song. I don't think I've heard that one before. Hasn't Marie done an amazing job of putting together this list of songs from all over the place that are just uplifting and really positive? I actually, over the Christmas break, I had a day that I was... I got to start the music, everyone else was out, and I just put on this Faith Matters playlist and just shuffle played it. And yeah, I encourage you, if you're looking for something to listen to in the car or at the beach, this is a great playlist to just, you don't have to be worried about anything about the kids, anything like that. It's just a really uplifting, will help you to feel really positive over this summer season. So yeah, that's a resource that Marie has sort of created, and it's available to all of us to enjoy, so take advantage of that. So this coming Sunday we have got a church service as usual up at the school, up at the hall in the school at the gymnasium, and it's at 10 o'clock. And Roger is going to be speaking about 2025, Year of Victory. That's what he was just telling us before he headed out today. So, Year of Victory, is that how you think of 2025 in your world? What is it that you're hoping for and dreaming for? Are your obstacles feeling a little bit overwhelming, or do you see hope through it all? And so, yeah, if you're curious about the idea of Year of Victory, I encourage you to come and join us on Sunday morning up at the school. And there are plenty of signs there and people outside to help you find where to go if you're not familiar with that area. But yeah, so here we head into the new year. So happy new year to you. And I hope that you really are having a wonderful time with family. I know some people are already back to work. Others go back to work on Monday, so this is kind of their wind down, ready to get back into normality. But whatever stage of the summer you are in, I trust that you have a safe week and a week that's really refreshing for you. I'm going to go out today with The Blessing, a beautiful song, so enjoy it.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you.